written on the board the words, "A just weight." Well, message the Lord's been challenging me with. Pray that it'll be a blessing unto you. Some instruction in righteousness, the way I believe the Lord would have us as his people to live. I'd like for us to begin in Proverbs, the 11th chapter. Proverbs 11 and verse 1 says, "A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." Whenever I see something that says, "The Lord's delight is this," isn't that every one of our desires to know, "Lord, how can I please you?" Because I do want to hear the Lord say, "Well done." I want the Lord to be able to say, "This is my child in whom I am well pleased." The Lord delights in something that ought to be our cue. That ought to be something for us to say, "Lord, that's what I want to make sure that I incorporate, that I build into my life." So I'd like to consider the thought of a just weight. This is something that in our time, in our digital age particularly, seems quite outdated. We hardly use what is referred to here as a weight or a balance. But I believe that we're familiar with what that is and what that refers to. Balances before the days that we would have the scales we're accustomed to today, or particularly the electronic readout scales, it was done by a fixed or a known weight. That I know this is exactly one, whatever the unit of measure in that country or that time was, we'll say 1 pound for the sake of illustration. I know that this is calibrated to be exactly 1 pound. And so if I want to buy or I want to sell 1 pound of a good, then I'm going to place that in the other opposing side of this balance, where it has maybe 2 pans, and in the middle it compares the weight of the 2 of those, compares it and shows the balance of it. To be able to equally match that, it needs to be pointed perfectly vertical or at 0. To show that it's at balance. I don't know if you've ever seen the painting, I believe by Norman Rockwell, had a way of capturing the realities of life in sometimes a comical manner. But this picture that came to my mind is a picture of a little old lady who had gone obviously to buy a turkey or a chicken and gone to the butcher and was standing there before the butcher with her bird laid on the balance, on the scales like we're talking about. And they were both looking up at the dial above the scales. And it showed in this picture the lady who was buying the bird with her finger underneath the scale, putting a little bit of upward pressure on it. And on the other side of the scale, the butcher who was selling his meat had his finger on top of the scale, pushing down on it, trying to skew the scale, or as we would say, tip the scales in their favor. For what is an advantage unto them? I'd like for us to turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, and begin here with the 13th verse. Deuteronomy 25 and 13 says, "Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house divers measures, a great and a small." You realize what this is referring to? This isn't talking about somebody, we'll say, like that butcher, who has a 1 pound weight and he has a 5 pound weight and he has a 10 pound weight. That's not what it's referring to when it says divers measures or divers weights. But it says, "You shall not have in your bag or in your home divers weights and measures." In other words, I've got one that's a little bit under 1 pound. And if I want to tip the scales in my favor, I'm going to put something that's a little bit under 1 pound. Well, in what instance would you want to do that? If I'm a dishonest butcher or whatever it is, selling something by weight or own a hardware store and want to sell you some nails, I'd rather, if I'm dishonest, sell you maybe 90% of a pound, 0.9 pounds. So if I would reach under the counter and I pull one that maybe has 1 pound marked on it, and you think you're buying 1 pound, but I know really that's a little bit. I shaved a little bit from the underneath of that weight, so it's not quite 1 pound. And I place that on the scales to tip the scales in my advantage. Divers weights. Goes on to say, but thou shalt have a perfect and a just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord's desire. Now we take out of the picture what's my preference. What would be an advantage unto me? Isn't that, though, the world's outlook, the world's perspective? Those who would be so bold as to claim membership of the Church of Satan, as it's known today in their creed and the Satanic Bible, throughout it, the theme is you take and you achieve and you strive for whatever is in your own advantage. Whatever is in your own interest, that's what you pursue with all your heart. That's not the way that it is with the way of God. With truth and righteousness, the Lord said that He delights in a just way. And the Lord told the children of Israel here in their conduct and their manner of living and their manner of behaving themselves in business dealings, you know, the gospel deals with every aspect of our lives. And the burden this morning, the instruction, is pertaining to the practical aspect of our lives. Because this is not just some high and out of reach theory of philosophy or theology that's beyond our reach. But this pertains to every aspect of our lives. It should. The Lord desires, and His plan is, that this salvation would reach into and change every aspect of the way we conduct ourselves and of our lives. It pertains unto the way we conduct business and to the way that we interact with one another. The Lord's instruction to them, be honest. Don't try to cut corners. Don't try to be dishonest in your dealings one with another. The Lord, this speaks to one who is just and honest, who cannot lie. And His desire and His requirement, God is light, and in Him is no darkness whatsoever. There's no shadow of turning. There's no confusion. There's no partial truth in God. He is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And His desire for us, His plan for us, is that we would be found and born spiritually in the image of God. We read where Jesus had dealings with the religious people of His time. Folks, whenever we think of matters of honesty and dishonesty, it doesn't pertain only to those who have no profession of religion. But it is becoming a matter that's more and more commonplace, it seems, in our world. Jesus, even unto the Pharisees, the religious people of His day, He talked to them and said that, essentially, you're of your father, the devil, and his works you will do. He said he is a liar, and he is the father of lies. He abode not in the truth from the beginning. He is all about lies. Even whenever He speaks the truth, and we'll get to this maybe a little later, whenever He speaks the truth, He lies. Now wait a minute. Is that possible? You can speak the truth and still lie? You can say something that is technically accurate and yet still deceive somebody? I want us to consider what it means in our lives to have a just weight. He told them, the works of your father you will do. He's the father of lies. He's the one who prompted Eve, Adam and Eve there, after they partook of the fruit, to tell a lie to the Lord, to God. That was what their recourse, or what they turned to. They were of a different father now. There was something that had happened. He is the father of lies and deception and lying that permeates throughout our world since sin plunged this world into darkness. But the Lord has called us to be a different people, to be called out of darkness, out of the kingdom of darkness, and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. I'd like for us to look at the book of Proverbs. Proverbs gives, as we know, lots of good instruction. It gives practical instruction. I'd like to look at the 20th chapter and the 14th verse. Proverbs 20 and 14. It is not, saith a buyer. But when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. I'm talking about a just weight. Whenever the Lord said, I want you to have one source of truth. I want you to not speak out of both sides of your mouth, but I want you to be true. I want you to be honest. I want you to have a just weight that is the truth, that tells the truth. And that, no matter what the situation is, whether to your advantage or whether to your disadvantage, you use that same weight in your dealings. This is talking about something that I can relate with, and perhaps all of us can. I'm sure that all of us have either in our lives bought or sold an item, a vehicle perhaps. You know, it's easy for us to have a different perspective on a vehicle when we're trying to sell it than when we buy it. Oh, that little knock, don't worry about it. Nah, that's nothing. It's done it for quite a while, and I just don't even pay it. That check engine light, oh, that's nothing to be worried about. I remember going and buying a vehicle before I knew better, and hopefully have learned a few things since then. It was late in the evening, and I really wanted to get this vehicle. I had looked over it in the ad, and it was the kind of vehicle that I wanted. I was excited about it, and I drove quite a distance to go look at it. I reached there, just dusk, time of dusk, almost dark, and the man said, well, you want to get in and test drive? Well, of course I did. So we got in and test drove, and some of the bumps in the road, I heard a rattle underneath. And so you know anything about this? It's nothing. There's nothing to it. You know, these vehicles just kind of make that sound when you're driving. Well, I should have known better, but I really wanted the vehicle. And so I bought the vehicle. And only after I bought the vehicle did I take it to the mechanic the next day, because they were closed at that time of evening. And he said, after looking at it, that you need about $1,200 of work done to this vehicle. This seller should have known what was going wrong. But you know, if that same individual was buying a vehicle and heard that same knocking, do you think he would be so nonchalant about that noise? Oh, I'm sure these vehicles all make that kind of noise. I'm sure that there's nothing to it. You understand what I'm trying to bring out here about a just weight? About having an honesty? Because there's something about this that I believe we all know it's wrong to lie. I'm not going to tell a lie. I'm not going to come and just defy something that I know is not the truth and speak that to you. I know better than that. But I believe that it comes closer to home than that. And I believe the Lord wants us to be very careful about our lives and about our dealings, that we provide a just weight. Remember a brother in the Guthrie congregation. He had sold quite a few vehicles, and Dad one time asked him, said, what's your trick? I try sometimes, and I just can't get them sold. He said, well, I just tell them it's a piece of junk, and if you want it, it's yours. You know, our world today, many people have gotten to a point where they don't feel they can trust anybody. They don't feel like people's word is really worth anything. And have you ever encountered a situation where you've been honest? And somebody will say, thank you for that. Thank you for doing that. Walked out of the store yesterday, and I looked down in the buggy when I got outside, and there was something underneath that hadn't been wrung out. So I took it back in and said, thank you for coming back in. Well, what else are you going to do? You know, sadly, the condition of our world is such that many people think nothing of it. Many people think nothing of a little fudging here, a little cutting the corners there, a little negligence of the truth in this line of their lives. So it says of the buyer, he says, oh, it's not, it's not. But then as soon as he turns and goes another way, he rejoices. Because I sure got one over on him. Well, I kind of made it known. I kind of inferred or kind of led them to the conclusion that it's nothing, or, you know, the price that we're talking about, that's about as high as I could possibly go. And then I turn around and say, boy, I got a great deal. I sure got one over on them. This is dealing with the practical aspects of lives and the nature and the tendency of mankind. May the Lord help us that we be very careful in our lives, that we be a people who are given to and governed by truth. I'd like to look at Proverbs, the 6th chapter. Proverbs 6 and 16 says, these 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. You notice at least 2 of these pertain directly to what we're talking about here. A lying tongue. And those who would speak lies or false witness, would bear false witness. Read of that, or that was given in the 10 commandments as well. It says, this doth the Lord hate. You know, the world may try to rebrand it and repackage it and justify it and try to make it seem like it's not as harsh or as bad as it really is. But the Lord doesn't sugarcoat these things. The Lord, it says, he hates dishonesty. He hates a lying tongue. It's an abomination unto him. He doesn't want there to be any remnant, any vestige of it to be in our lives. He hates those things, it says. The Lord is calling for us to put away those works as his people, to be a people who have put away those hidden works of darkness. Colossians 3 in the 9th verse. I was reading before we get that. I was reading just recently a common school of business teaches people leadership and how to conduct and be successful in business and so forth. And they were going through a study, pretty comprehensive study, and involved hundreds of people. And they said, as I'll summarize in my own words, if you give me the liberty to do so, that they said, we've always heard that honesty is the best policy. But we're rethinking that here at this school of business. The study and the findings that we've come across, that maybe it's not always the best policy. That there are times whenever lying, they said, can actually be considered to be ethical. Where it's more ethical to lie than to tell the truth. Folks, you see how twisted we become whenever we turn to our own reasoning and our own imaginations? Whenever we're the ones that produce the weights? Whenever I'm the one that says, here's what I want to balance this equation with. Here's what I want to say is 1 pound. The Lord says, no, I've already defined what 1 pound is. I've already defined what the truth is. Use that in your lives. But instead, whenever people reject the truth, reject the author of the truth, reject the Lord, they're left unto their own devices. They're left to produce their own version of what truth is. And so I can come to a place that I convince myself, as many in our world today have. And unfortunately, many even in religious circles who have convince themselves that we all do this more or less. That we all, nobody can say that you don't lie every once in a while. They said that really you have to just kind of look at the scenario. Just look at the situation. Are you lying for only selfish purposes, or is there some benefit to your lying? Maybe you're protecting somebody, or maybe you're making them feel better about themselves and those kind of things. Do we read in the scriptures that we just read of in Proverbs, the Lord hates a lying tongue unless it is to flatter somebody or protect them? The Lord hates a lying tongue unless it's to your own benefit and business. It's commonly known in some business dealings that some of the tactics that are employed are a little bit shady, dishonest. Sometimes, or with all people, it's not a fair assessment, but there are some salesmen that have earned a reputation in perhaps the car selling business that you've got to really watch yourself. You've got to really be aware of what's going on, or they'll pull one over on you. Have you ever been in a place and talking over maybe the price, you've settled on a vehicle or something you like, and you ask about the price and they give a number and, ooh, I don't know, that's a little higher than what I expected. Is there any room that we can negotiate here? Any lower? Well, this is as low, we're gonna lose money, but you know, I wanna help you. I'm all for you. I see your family and I wanna help you out here, but I've got a pretty mean manager over here. And he's not going to be for this at all. So let me go talk to him and let me see if I can convince him for your sake to accept a price where we're going to lose money with a smile on their face. It's called good cop, bad cop. There's some shadiness that goes on at times. It's set up before the deal is ever even initiated. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be over in this other office here, and you can call me the bad cop. I'm going to be the one saying no, and then we'll go back and we'll get together and talk, and they'll think that we're really trying to scrub the numbers and see what we can do. Again, I'm not impugning every salesman, but I'm saying these are tactics that have been done. Bible talks about in Hosea, it says a merchant and his balances of deceit. We're talking about a just weight. As the people of God, the responsibility that we have to be an honest and a transparent people. You ever heard an ad on the radio? Maybe it'll say something like this. Now, mention to you that we know that it's wrong to lie. We know that the Lord's displeased with lying. But there can be ways that I mislead. There can be ways that I deceive. By telling only a part of the truth. By telling only a little bit of it to lead you down a path that's going to cause you to reach the wrong conclusion. You ever heard on the radio something like, I've got this wonderful product. It'll help you to lose weight, or it'll help you to do this. And for the first 10 callers, you can now receive a free sample or something like that. Oh, well, what's that supposed to lead me to believe? If I'm the 11th caller, I'm out of luck. I better pick up my phone right now while the door of opportunity is open. All the while knowing good and well, the first 1,000 people that call, we've run the same deal for the last 5 years. But I want to create an image. I want to create an idea that's not exactly the truth. A just weight. Talked about white lies. You know that's a man-created phrase? That's not a God-created thing. The Lord didn't make a distinction or a differentiation between the color of lies. But it's to people who want to try to justify, who want to try to somehow excuse the place that I'm in. You know the scripture says that the kisses of an enemy are what? They're deceitful. They're misleading. Although they might say, and I could argue, well, this is for your own benefit, for your own good, that I'm going to stretch the truth a little bit here. I'm going to not tell, be completely honest here. I'm going to tell something that I don't really mean or that I don't really believe here. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. But I'd like for us to consider here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9 what our responsibility as the people of God is. It says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Your old man and the old deeds that are so commonplace to the world and that have become so accepted among mankind as common practice of lying occasionally or now and then, put it off. Put away that old man. You're not still living after that same manner of conduct. You're not still the children of night anymore. You've put off the works of darkness and of night, and the Lord has called us unto holiness and purity. Ephesians chapter 4, we read also, it says 4:25, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. There we have it pretty clearly laid out. The Lord is not pleased, nor does he accept lying from his people, from his children, from those who would claim access or entrance into his heaven. That's not acceptable conduct. But I want us again that we would be very honest with our own selves and with the Lord. Lord, am I truly conducting myself with a just weight? Because as I mentioned a little while ago, we can mislead people by still only telling technically what's the truth. Somebody comes up to someone and maybe a child, we'll assume that this stops after childhood, and says, "Did you eat the last of the pie?" "No, I didn't." Because technically it was a cobbler. "So I didn't eat the last of the pie." You understand what I mean? By the letter, I was telling the truth. But by the spirit of the thing, we don't serve the Lord in the letter, but we serve the Lord in our spirit. The Lord, truth is about more than just the words that I say. And can I be a lawyer in the way I dance about this so that I lead you to a false conclusion, but yet convince myself that I've still been honest? I'll give you the example of Joseph's brothers. You remember whenever they cast him into the deep pit, they took his coat and they dipped it in blood, and they took it to their father. If you read the account in Genesis, I don't read where they said, "Father, Joseph has been killed, and here's his coat, and it's all that's left of him. He's lying dead out in the field now." But instead, they came to him with the coat, with the blood soaked in the coat, and they said, "Tell us whether or not this be Joseph's coat." I didn't say anything dishonest. I just asked him, "Is this Joseph's coat or is it not?" You understand the difference? That I can mislead or deceive somebody, and yet I've not said anything that's untrue. But yet, is the end that I've accomplished really any different? The Lord is calling for us to live, yes, it's a careful life. Some of the justification of dishonesty. The government already gets so much tax. The government already gets so much money, they're not going to miss if I make a little bit of an adjustment to my tax returns. If I withhold a little bit and I falsify a record just a little bit, they're not going to know any better. They're not going to miss my little extra so much amount of money. I don't know why I keep coming back to the selling of cars. But I remember selling a car one time to a young man. We had were filling out the title and that transfer of the vehicle. I had to go into the title agency there, and as we were walking in, he said, "Hey, by the way, just put down as how much we sold it for. Just put down X amount." That was significantly less than what he actually paid for it. "Well, why would you do that?" because he pays lower taxes then. It is to their advantage. And so he was asking me to be party to this. I want you to write down something lower. Let's agree together here that we're going to falsify something. Folks, I want us to be challenged and stirred as a reminder this morning of what the Lord is expecting from us as his people, as the way we conduct our conversation in life, that we do so with a just measure. I can't do that. I've got to conduct myself honestly. The world might justify it. Religious people might say it's not a big deal. But I'm not interested in just trying to put a label on something or justify. Lord, search me. Lord, search me with your spotlight. Am I providing a just weight in this business dealing, in this life? I want to add what you might call a caveat here. What I believe being honest does not mean. Whenever I read this and I realize the Lord is expecting of us to conduct ourselves honestly, I believe it does not mean this. Well, this is the truth, so I'm just going to tell them. This is true. They're just flat out ugly, so I'm just going to say it. That's not what this is calls for out of us. In fact, the scripture says in Proverbs 29 and 11, it says, a fool uttereth all his mind. The Lord still expects for us that our speech be seasoned with grace, that our speech be with wisdom, with understanding, that we be wise as serpents and yet harmless as doves. It does not require that I speak everything that's on my mind because it is the truth. But what does the scripture say about speaking the truth? Oh yes, there is a requirement. There is a heavy responsibility upon us, especially those of us who have had an understanding of truth, that we speak the truth, that we not speak something or teach something or preach something that is watered down with deception or that I take out of context. You know, that's one means of lying or deception. Again, not to impugn a class of people, but politicians sometimes have a reputation. Many times the misleading that a politician might do has many elements of truth to it. Do you know you can make statistics lie? You know, you can take statistics on one side or the other and ask a question a certain way and get a statistic that I can tout and say, this tells my story. Or so-and-so said this. Did you hear what so-and-so said? And I take three words out of a whole paragraph that they said, and the meaning within the context of what they said is something completely different. But they technically did say these three words. But it's dishonest. It's misleading. The Lord is calling for us to speak the truth, yes. That we live the truth. We live by the truth. As we heard in Sunday school, we stand upon the truth. And that's how we live our lives. But the scripture that says we speak the truth says in love. Speaking the truth in love. That's what the Lord is looking for from us. And the balance of things in our lives. 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 20. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Providing for honest things. If you look at the definition of this word honest, it's a little bit different than how we use it today. It's honorable. Those things which are noble. But really, it's the same. Whenever we read in Philippians, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. Whatsoever things are think worthy, whatsoever things are noble and that's what you think on. Providing for things in our lives that are honest firstly in the sight of God, from whom nothing can hide or nothing can be withheld from Him, who knows and searches the thoughts, the intents, the motives, what I really mean, what I really think, the Lord who knows all those things, that I provide things honest in His sight. What did Ananias and Sapphira do? They thought that somehow that they could deceive the people by withholding a certain amount. I want to create the illusion here that we're giving everything just like everyone else, but I'm not going to offer the information that this is only part of it. As Peter told him, it was within your power. You could have withheld part if that's what you wanted to do, but don't deceive. Don't try to mislead. This gets into areas also of hypocrisy, that I try to create an image about myself that would mislead people when I know I'm not living that. I know that's not where I'm at. I know that's not the way I'm conducting myself. But I want to try to create an image to convince people. Folks, it's not only people that we have to convince. It is the Lord that I'm going to stand before. The one that searches the heart and searches the thoughts and searches the mind, that knows exactly the way that I'm living. Provide things honest in the sight of God. Provide a just measure in the sight of God. Not something that's distorted or skewed or misleading. In the sight of God and before men, we have a responsibility in the way that we conduct ourselves before mankind, before the believers, before the saints, and before the lost and undone sinners of this world with whom we have interactions and conduct and conversation. I believe it's in Titus that the instruction is given that the young men have sound speech which cannot be condemned, that he which is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having nothing evil to speak of you. Sound speech. You can't find fault with it. It's true. It's not just given to the latest sensationalism that I heard this and I'm going to go and run with. But the things that I base my life on, that I base my decisions on, that I base my conversations on, they're true. They're honest. They're not misleading. They're not with an intent to deceive somebody. That you give no opportunity to impugn the name of God in their minds. You give no opportunity to blaspheme the name or the cause of God, regardless of how other people may conduct themselves in this time, regardless of how they may justify a little bit of slipperiness here or there. May the Lord help us that we conduct ourselves honestly, of good report before mankind. Because anymore, people just can't believe anyone, it seems like. Just can't take somebody's word. I've got to go try to double check this and double check that. And we've got to have a 30-page contract to try to cover myself in case you're lying to me. Oh, for the times when we'd be able to just shake each other's hand and look each other in the eye and say, this is the way it is. This is what I'll do for you. This is what I'll provide. And it's good enough that a man's word is as good as his bond. But folks, that's not the time that we're living in today for this world. But it is the time we're living for as saints. Because regardless of the time, regardless of the darkness of the age, we're not, our requirement doesn't change any as God's people. We're still called, we're still taught by the Spirit of God to deny worldly lust and ungodliness and to live soberly, godly, and righteous in this very present world. That we still present an honesty unto this world. That as folks get to know me maybe, or is that they've had some business dealings, that they can say, if he says it, that's the way it is. If he says it, you don't have to. But people today, have you ever heard him say, I promise, I double promise, I whatever, and swearing? Jesus dealt with that, didn't he? Swear not, neither by the heavens nor by your head. You can't change the color of your hair. It's known of one of the famous rabbis of his day that he believed and taught that a man could say something with his mouth, could make an oath or a vow in his mouth, with his mouth, but in his heart, he could intend something else, and so he would not be bound by the things that he said. Did you follow that? That he believed that if you disagree in your heart well, I'm not really going to do that. But I say with my mouth, I'm going to do it. The Lord sees down in the heart, so you're not bound by what you just said. That's not what the scripture says. Provide things honest in the sight of God and man. Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Let that be what your words are. Whenever you say something, whenever you speak something, let it be honesty. Let it be with an honesty that comes forth, that they don't have to wonder, well, what are they really saying? What did they really do? Or what did they really mean? But that we can be open, transparent, honest, because I've got nothing to hide. Whether it hurts me or whether it's to my advantage, here's what the truth is. Then I just lay it out and I live my life that way. What a better way to live. I don't have to try to cover one lie with 10 other lies. I don't have to try to cover a track or a trail I leave behind of broken promises and vows and lies. But that we can live our lives just honestly. Nothing to hide. Nothing to try to cover up. I can just be transparent and who I am. Yes, again, with wisdom. With grace that I speak these things. Let your conversation, one scripture says, 1 Peter 2:12, let your conversation be honest among the Gentiles, that we may be a people of a reputation. They're an honest people. That there wouldn't be a business dealing or some other transaction or dealing in my life that people get to the other side of it and say, why didn't they tell me that? Why did they withhold that from me? That it doesn't leave a bad taste in their mouths. The Lord has called us unto something better than what this world has to offer. I agree that what they say, everybody does it. Everybody but those who are redeemed by the blood. If left to our own flesh and our own ways, that's what you'll resort to. It's what you'll be. It's what we'll all naturally, whether in an out and open lie or by slight deceptive means, it's what I'll resort to. But the Lord today is calling for something much higher than that. I'm calling you to a highway of holiness. I'm calling for you in your lives to apply a just weight. Your decisions, your thoughts, your dealings with people, the words that you speak, let your yea be yea. Apply a just weight. May the Lord help us so we would be able to be that light in a dark world that's filled with dishonesty and with deceit, that we could be a shining beacon. You pray for me. Amen.